going to be reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. So the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert of the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you, Tina. I forgot to ask the youth to go out to their groups and activities, so if you'd like to go out to your rock solid group, that would be great. Eki, come up and join me up here. A few weeks ago in August, we had the dedication of twins, and which Eki's grandfather of. And it's been really wonderful to have Ellie as part of the church for a long time. And Eki has been able to join Ellie. And Eki here is a very humble man, because I know that back home in Nigeria, he had a very important role, a journalist. And I know as a civil servant, you were writing a lot of the speeches for the regional governor as well. And but he was also, I think you were ordained as a pastor in the 1990s, something like that? 2005. So also a pastor as well. So I invited Eki just to come and just bring God's words to us today. And so let's reach out our hands towards him and let's pray for him. Yeah, Father God, Lord, I thank you for Eki. Lord, I thank you for his life. Lord, I thank you for the family. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, as he brings your word to us, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would open his mouth, open his mind, and Lord, be able to, that he may be able to communicate, Lord, what you are saying to us today. Lord, will we hear your voice speaking through Eki today? Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah. I hope I'm being heard from there, from behind. Otherwise, maybe the mic would have to be increased a little bit. Pastor John, I'd like to thank you and with the church eldership for the privilege to share your pulpit today. It's a wonderful privilege. I can't take it for granted. And I know in the last few years I come and I go back, and I've been part of this church and I love it here. Truth is that I have an understanding that your sermons are themed around the love of God. And that for me is wonderful, being personally a product of God's love. And It's quite thematic in the sense that the reality of the Gospels is given a prime of place based on the foundational exposition of John 3:16, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to take advantage of this opportunity to probably share maybe just one singular instance of that God's love in action. And it's a sermon I like to title, A Certain Man. A Certain Man. And as it was read in Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan, the gospel that surrounds the Good Samaritan is laden with so many lessons and beautiful work. Incidentally, as you might see, this was not a true situation. This was a narrative, one of the parables that Jesus gave. And so when you are listening to it, have your mind back at certain things, between what could be fictional, between what could be reality. But the true essence of it is that a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which was stripped of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Please keep this at one corner of your head because we'll get back there. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, the word says he had compassion on him. I don't know how many of you can pronounce that word. Compassion. Compassion. Yeah, we'll get to that because it means much more than just showing love. All right? It means much more than that. Now, because he had compassion on him, and went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, took care of him, and it keeps going. Now, there are certain takeaways I'd like us to look at this. For me, this passage is loaded with certain things that appears to me to be the keys to eternity. The keys to eternity. And I'm sure you know what eternity means. In Christian theology, the concept and anticipation of eternity remains a focal point, a critical driving force in our daily conduct as believers. And this is what I mean. As we are seated here, we are propelled by certain belief systems and philosophies that as a Christian, there are certain things we are not likely going to do. We are not going to behave like the people of the world. Why? Because we expect that at the end of our journey through life, that we'll make heaven. Hallelujah. Now, so this concept is a potent force in determining our belief systems, in determining our worldview, as well as our philosophical convictions. It is considered as the expected destination of where and how we will all spend that unending afterlife experience called eternity. And presently, beyond Christianity, there are about five other religions of the world that also have this belief that someday, at the end of their journey, they anchor their faith on eternity. Or something that is close to it. We won't go into that. All right. But given this significant belief, every religion seems to have on offer certain things. You might call it prescription of how we can encounter our Creator at the expiration of our journey here. Now, so these steps are revelations that are possibly as old as religion itself. Now, for the Christian, the condition given in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verse number 27 is both apt and revealing. It says, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and with all and thy neighbor as thyself. Hallelujah. Now, so total love and commitment to God and to fellow men apparently holds the key to the doors of eternity. It might appear simple, but one thing I want you to get back home with here is that if you are able to tap into the revelations in this chapter, you will go home a very happy man. Hallelujah. So how can we fulfill the conditions set forth in verse 27? Number one, it talks about loving God with all your heart. And of course, you know that in your heart, when you're talking about heart, you're talking about your emotions, because the heart is what rules the emotions. Meaning that if you must love God, part of your emotions must be involved. Hallelujah. Now, he says that you love him with all your soul. Loving him with all your soul means that with all the knowledge that God has given you, with all your understandings, because the soul is the faculty of the intellect. Hallelujah. Now, loving him with all your strength now introduces the physical dimension to the love of God. It means that no matter what happens, even if it is raining, the love of God must prevail. Whether there are armed robbers on the road, the love of God must prevail. Whether you have gotten some issues and people are saying, hey, the road has been blocked in Bongreef, the love of God sends you to church. Hallelujah. Now, so the parable of the Good Samaritan is therefore one that comes with deep insights for every heavenly bound Christian. The major character in this narrative is the one that the Bible has not given us his true name. The nomenclature here is the Good Samaritan. Hallelujah. Now, the Good Samaritan represents a typology of God and Christ on account of his exemplary conduct and display of the three combined forces of mercy, compassion, and selflessness, or what he would call the self, the basis of self-abnegation. So what does compassion mean to you? Verse number 34 and 35 briefly gives us snippets of what this represents. Now, so for me, compassion is a virtue that is marked by not only being moved by the pain and the suffering of another person, but it also empowers you with the instant feeling of identification with that source of pain and the ability, the enablement to take action about that situation. Hallelujah. Are we together? Now, so, in taking action and identifying with a particular pain and the suffering of another person, that gives you the impetus to rise to action to assuage the pain. It is a very emotional encounter and experience. Now, so, the dictionary.com, when I looked up about what you call compassion as a noun, it says it is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. If that sounds like you, say hallelujah. Now, so that means you have compassion. Now, so, and it says it is also accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate that suffering. So when the Good Samaritan took that action, I must let you understand, he was taking a big risk. Why? Because this is a man that had already been mauled by armed robbers. Now, so, don't you think that there is a possibility that if he hung around that place for a longer period, that the same armed robbers can come around and attack him as well? I mean, come to think of it, others had seen the same person in pains and they had passed. So, what if he was arrested and being taken in by the police for being culpable in that situation? Now, what if he was attacked by maybe wild animals along that route? Now, so this is the bomb. He was sacrificing his time, which is physical. He was sacrificing his money in the course of doing this. Now, so when he showed compassion, he refused the temptation to discriminate against that certain man on account of race, color, creed, and nationality. I'm sure if you do some further studies, biblical studies, you would realize that the people called Samaritans were not people that were so loved. They didn't really have good relationship with other people. That's why with the encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well, when Jesus asked her for a drink, she said, wow. So how come you know that you and us, we don't have a relationship? How come you are asking me for water? Now, so the Samaritans were people that were seen as outcasts, people that were good for nothing. Now, but how come one Samaritan stooped and the Bible changed his name and called him the good? It qualified him the good. Now, so what that tells me is that as long as you're able to do the work of God through compassion, your name has changed to the good. Now, so, and this for me is very revealing. And when I was looking at this, and I took a look at the Rock Christian Center, and I tried to analyze some of the few things I've seen them do. And I said, indeed, there is a good Samaritan here. And so, Pastor John, don't be surprised if I change your name. Because this is the testimony that shall speak to the Rock Christian Center. On that judgment day, the very act of running a multicultural church of all nations where people are not segregated on the basis of color and skin. The very act of running a food bank where people of every other religion and persuasion are fed, the hungry. The very act of running a church with a deliberate arrangement where the poor is not only fed but are helped out of debts and poverty through the Christian Against Poverty CAP initiative. This speaks volumes to me. Now, so this is also a church that also takes the risk. As I speak, I'm sure Trisha came back this morning, must have been too tired to be here, after running the streets and looking for the troubled, the infirmed, the needy, the drunk, and those you call criminals, and possibly those that we call sinners. So she takes the risk. A team in this church takes the risk in going out into the dark streets at night to deliver the troubled, these afflicted, by drawing people out of darkness to the marvelous light of his son, Jesus Christ, and depopulating the kingdom of darkness. Now, so I have also a personal testimony that because this church runs prayers, like we just finished one, about the sick, about people who are going through problems. My wife had been down for about 5 months and couldn't go to work and couldn't be in church here. In one of such moments, the church sends an ambassador of this church. And Paulette came. Not just with flowers, not just with gifts, but with prayers. We held on to those prayers and God answered your prayers. May that God be praised. Now, so you see that they have gone further from the normal everyday Christianity. Now they are praying about people who are having immigration issues. These are the things on the last day that the great judge of all will ask. And of course, this is compassion in motion. This is what Jesus set as a template for us. By going to the cross to pay the debts he did not owe. the debts we owed. He never sinned, of course, you know that. And in strict principles, spiritual principles, it says, for every soul that sins, it shall die. Jesus never sinned. We were the ones who sinned. I was the one who sinned. But he took those sins and nailed it to the cross of Calvary and said, it is finished. When he said, it is finished, like it was said the other day, the original transcription of it from its original word, tetelestai, means it is an accounting term, which means paid in full. That's why I can stand here today and testify to his goodness. That's why you can sit here today knowing that the sins of yesterday, it had been paid in full. That's why in my career, I have had encounters. So I practice Christianity as a marketplace God servant. There are people that walked into my office and they would not leave the same way they came. Some would come in tears and I make sure that they walk out smiling. To the extent that some of them would come and told me people had said that this thing I would pay for about 250,000 naira. How come you are giving these things for me free? And I said the price had been paid at Calvary. Now some of them will come back. After they would have left the office, they come back and say, hello sir, I suspect that you are a pastor. Which church do you go? And I say, it's not about church. It's about the fact that the price had been paid. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, so this is why this week, as you go out, reach out to other people, touch someone's life, and shine the light and show the way. For as it is written in Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is the challenge before us as Christians, as children of God. Now, so the Bible captures several instances of this experience of compassion. So while the extraordinary ministry of Jesus remains a perfect exemplification of this compassion, and you take, for instance, the encounter of Jesus the night he was arrested in the garden, as recorded in John 18, the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, you realize that that is the night that we broke loose. Even before he went to the cross, he had set us free. When the military, the army came for him, and they were looking around, they couldn't identify who they were looking for. So incidentally, they needed his guy, Judas, to do the job. And I was afraid. So, and Jesus asked them, let's see, verse number 7-9. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these ones go their way. From that moment he made that pronouncement, I was set free. You were set free. Now, so by the time he went to the cross to say it is finished, he was merely making that pronouncement, not to you anymore, but to the heavens that he had finished the job. Are we still together? Yes. Hallelujah. So verse 9 says that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke of them, which thou, he says, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Now, so, now as we look at the book of Matthew, I'd like to go back to Matthew. I'd like to go back to Matthew 25 from verse 41. As we begin to wind down, Matthew 25, I guess from verses 41, because this is the judgment encounter. On the last day. Do we believe in the judgment that there will be a judgment on the last day? Yes. Okay, so this is the narrative about it. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, so it keeps on and on and on to the extent that at verse number 40 it says, okay, let's just make it from verse number 35. He said, for I was an hungered and he gave me meat like the food bank. I was thirsty and he gave me drink like the after service tea. I was a stranger and he took me in like many of us that you have taken in. Naked and he clothed me. I was sick and he visited me like you visited us when my wife was down. He said, I was in prison and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we these? And when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Number 40, verse number 40. And the king shall answer and say, listen to this. He said, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye done it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now it says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hunger, and he gave me meat. And he kept repeating and repeating the same judgment. Now, so, when he does this, there is something at the back of my mind. And it brings me back to the encounter with the Good Samaritan. And I'll ask each of you. First, let me let you understand that. In our journey through life, you know, this story is about five major characters. And this is what makes this portion of the Bible beautiful. It's like somebody that has written a good movie script. And if they forget to do what is called characterization, you won't have good heroes coming out. You won't have good characters playing out. But this is a full, complete team. In this story, you have seen a certain man. You have seen thieves. You have seen a certain priest. You have seen a Levite. And now you have seen a certain Samaritan. Now, let me say this. On the last day, when the curtains will fall and be drawn on humanity, we will all be judged according to how we treated a certain man. I want you to take this seriously. And let me ask you. When you saw a certain man that was mauled and thrown down, did we pass by on the other side like that certain priest? That is verse number 31. Number two, did we look on him and pass by on the other side like the Levite? Verse number 32. Or let me say, or did we stop by to bring out our phones like it's being done these days and to begin to take pictures of the suffering victim so that we can post it on our social media platforms? Because that's going on a whole lot these days. I have seen people taking pictures of a man that is trying to commit suicide, and they take time. So why didn't we do something? So why do we have to bring out the phones and begin to take pictures and post it on our social media? Now, these are questions that we will answer on the last day. Now, most importantly, did we show compassion on him like that Good Samaritan? When you go back, read from verses 33 to 35. Now, this is the big question that awaits humanity. When the roll is called up yonder, and this is the judgment that no single man will escape, and this includes women. This question, what shall be your answer? I may not know who I'm talking to this morning, but I believe I'm fully persuaded that I'm being driven by the Spirit of the Lord to make this message. Initially, this wasn't the message I wanted to give. So what will be your answer? But if you're compelled to rededicate yourself this morning and to give your life back again to Christ, I'd like you to rise up this morning. Yeah, we're all born again Christians, tongue speaking ones. But there comes a time on full realization and we say, God, I didn't do well. I missed out on something. You may want to rise up on your feet this morning and let us pray together. Because Matthew 10:32-33 says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. This morning, I am believing that the God of heaven wants you back on track. And I'm fully persuaded that after now, it may be too late. Rise up on your feet this morning. Rise up on your feet this morning. Lift up those hands to heaven and begin to pray. And tell God, thank you for bringing me thus far. I don't preach long messages. But if you heard me and the Spirit is talking to you, preach at the way I preached. And the Spirit is telling you that there's something that you had not done well. That there's a particular portion of your life you hadn't lived right. And that there's something along the way that wasn't going too good. Tell God, I am sorry. It's as easy as that. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We lift up our hands unto you. As the author and finisher of our faith, we thank you because you gave us life. This life belongs to you. We bring it back to this altar this morning to tell you thank you for all that you do for us. Father, I would say thank you for the words which have gone forth this morning, and we declare that the words which have gone forth, that they shall not return void. Let it accomplish the purposes for which it was sent out this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I came as your servant. I have met your word. I have not added a word of my own. I am saying glorify yourself this morning in the midst of your people. Take all the glory. I stand as your servant and your high priest. This morning I declare, by reason of your anointing, let the yokes upon your people be broken. In the mighty name of Jesus, take all the glory. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.